Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Good morning, Carolinas. You're listening to Carolina Focus on News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT, Mix 107.9 and 92.7 610 Sports Radio, WFNZ. Carolina Focus, always available as a podcast. Go to WBT.com, go to the podcast section, scroll down, and you can find Carolina Focus. Welcome to the month of June. You know, Carolina Focus is your public affairs show. It's a combination of original interviews and choice encore segments from the past week. Along with Sharon Thorsland, I'm Ed Billick. Let's get started with Andrea Fleming, who's the Director of Talent and Workforce Development for the North Carolina Technological Association. Sharon caught up with her. Here's their discussion right here, Carolina Focus.
Good morning, everyone, and thanks so much for joining us here on Carolina Focus. I'm Sharon Thorsland. Well, you've probably seen a lot of help wanted signs out there. You know that the job market is really good for people who are looking for a job right now. Lots of job openings, not enough people. And the tech industry feeling that same pain, looking for new candidates and people to hire. So the North Carolina Technology Association here is hosting a virtual tech job expo to try to give opportunities for employers and candidates that are trying to find a job, try to hook those people up and give them an opportunity to connect. That is coming up next week. So joining me right now is Andrea Fleming. She is the Director of Talent and Workforce Development for the North Carolina Technology Association. Andrea, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Oh, good morning, Sharon. Thank you for the invite. I'm happy to be here.
Great. Well, first of all, I want to talk a little bit about the jobs in the technology field in general. It seems like this has just been a booming field that just keeps on growing. What is the job outlook right now for people who are interested in a job in the tech field?
Very, very bright. So I've been in this position about 6 months, and we do a monthly IT job trends report. And each month it's really unique trying to find a quote to talk about the upward trend because it just keeps going up. You can only say record-breaking so many times, but truly, I believe it's been about a 14-month upward trend and hit a record number of openings in April with about 53,000 openings in North Carolina in the tech field.
Wow. That's a lot of number.
That's a big number, a lot of jobs. That's a lot of jobs.
Wow. That's amazing. Now, and when we talk about jobs in tech, I think a lot of people think, somebody who sits at a computer. What are some examples of jobs in technology? Because I'm sure it's more than just that.
Yeah, so we do even track the top 10 titles and the top skills that the companies are looking for. So some of the top titles are like senior software engineer, project managers, data engineers, software developers, network engineers. So, software engineering, those are definitely kind of the top titles. And as far as the top skills, cybersecurity is always near the top, project management. So again, they're not all specific, tech titles. Scrum masters, those are always up at the top, Cisco certified network associates. So again, we track those credentials too of what the companies are looking for on a resume that's going to land that person a job.
Okay. Well, now I know that coming up next week here, you've got this big virtual tech job expo. Can you tell us a little bit about the expo in general? When is it? How does it work kind of thing?
Sure. So this will be our fifth virtual expo. So we've always done job expos, very traditional in the past, one in Charlotte, one in Raleigh, different times of the year, in person. But with COVID, as so many other things, shifted virtual, and it's been really successful. So companies can have recruiters from whatever office they may be recruiting from, And the same for job seekers. It's not just people locally. We can attract people from all over the country, even internationally, that are looking for a job with a North Carolina company. And even that can be a job that is physically located in a North Carolina office or a remote option. So this will be our fifth virtual expo. It will be on June 8th from 8:30 until 1:30. We've got about 20 companies registered so far, and they have upwards of 1,400 job openings that they are looking to fill. Those are current openings just from those 20 companies. The early access starts today, so seekers can go in, make sure they're familiar with the platform, make sure they're ready to chat professionally, be ready for how that video chat works, because some companies are even doing interviews the day of the expo. Wow. So really trying to narrow down that time gap between someone submitting an application, then a recruiter getting back and scheduling an interview time and then scheduling a second. So really squeezing that into maybe a single day, connect with the recruiter, share your resume, and actually have an interview right then.
Wow. So how does it work? So the morning of the expo, sort of walk us through it, because it's like one thing doing a Zoom interview like this to do a one-on-one interview with somebody or have a meeting kind of thing, but to have like a job expo where they're like putting their company on display, I guess. How does it look to the person who is attending the expo? How to sort of walk us through the process if you can.
So I'll try to explain this for radio.
Exactly.
So we actually have a virtual lobby, and that has all of the company's logos. So a job seeker can go into the lobby and pick maybe Credit Suisse, that they want to go into Credit Suisse booth. So they will go into the booth, and then the company customizes their booth. They have their job postings listed. They have multiple recruiters that can be participating in the booth that day. They can have a summary about what it's like to work there, their benefits, their culture. And then a seeker can actually live chat. Hi, I'm so-and-so. I'm looking for a job in this. I saw you have an opening as a scrum master. And then the recruiters, they can have an ongoing conversation. And then they can even change that chat to a video chat or an interview. The companies can even do a kind of a meet their employer session with multiple job seekers on video and, ask your questions. What do you want to know about working, at our company at Toshiba? What do you want to know about working at MetLife? So it's really flexible and it does operate very similar, except you're not standing face to face with a recruiter. You're either chatting through the platform or doing a video chat. But then the job seekers, they have their resume uploaded. They have a profile picture, their LinkedIn profile. So there's a lot of information that can be exchanged very quickly between the employer and the job seeker.
It sounds like this is a really efficient way of job hunting for people and obviously for the employers too. But what kind of benefits, obviously it sounds like there's a lot, but what's the main thing that like a job seeker can get out of this when you have access to so many companies all in one place and can find out all the information that you were just telling us?
So really, that's where the early access does come into play. Just like anything else, you get out of it what you put into it. So, a job seeker that's really serious can go in and check out the different openings for all the different companies and make their priority list for, the day of the event, I want to go to Infosys first, then I want to hit Relias, Credit Suisse, First Citizens Bank, and Blue Matrix. And these are the different jobs at the different companies. And they're able to connect directly with a recruiter at all of those companies in one day. Whereas if they were submitting applications, then waiting for a return email or waiting for the confirmation, and then would they actually get to have a one-on-one communication with that recruiter? Maybe, maybe not. So this is a really good way for those that are willing to go that extra step to make those direct connections in one day.
Absolutely. We're speaking with Andrea Fleming. She is the Director of Talent and Workforce Development for the North Carolina Technology Association, telling us all about their upcoming virtual tech job expo. So we're talking about the people, the job job seekers, the candidates that are looking for this. It sounds like they can, I mean, it's very beneficial for them. How about for the employers as well? Is this a better way of doing it than the old school way of like people submitting a resume kind of thing? Do they appreciate this as well?
They really do. So about 80% of our exhibitors are repeat exhibitors. So they see the value in this event and they want to do it each time. So in 2022, we're having three. So this is our second of 2022. So they definitely see the value. You know, for one thing, it's employer branding. You know, they get a chance to talk about their company different than how they can do it on LinkedIn or on their careers page. So it's really one other part of that employer branding piece. Another part of their recruitment strategy. Yeah, there's not a one size fits all. It's looking at all of the different things that a company can do to try to reach people, and get that talent that they really need. We even have three companies, Infosys, Credit Suisse, and First Citizens Bank that are hosting individual webinars the day before the expo. So on June 7th, they'll have a 30-minute session where they'll talk about like the top 10 things that make their company, what makes them special. They'll talk about career progressions, maybe training opportunities. Yeah, really why someone would even want to apply, but why they would want to stay at that company. So it's a really unique opportunity for, you know, a 20-minute commercial about come work with us. We're great. Here are the opportunities we have, and here's how we want you to make a career out of working with us. And then at those sessions too, there's time for questions. So again, an opportunity that job seekers don't typically have, they will at these Meet the Employer webinars that are on June 7th. And then at the expo on June 8th.
Yeah, I was I had that as a note to ask you about that, the Meet the Employer webinars. I mean, that seems like a win-win as well for both employers and people interested. Yes. So I know you said you've got 20 so far companies that are going to be represented. What do you have a list of those so people who might be interested can start targeting those?
I do have a list of those. They are on our website and we update that as soon as a new company registers. So nctech.org. But so far we have Applied Research Associates, Blue Matrix, Cox Communications, Credit Suisse, Deutsche Bank, First Citizens Bank, Health Access, ICAP Solutions, IEM, Infosys, LexisNexis, MetLife, ProTech Partners, RandomBit, Relias, RevTech Labs, Single Store, SystemSoft, and Toshiba Global Commerce Solutions. Wow. So we have 20 and we're leaving the registration open for the companies until this Friday. So we typically get a few last minute additions. So we should have some more come in this week.
Wow. It sounds like those sort of run the gamut. They're not just all like what you would consider like a techie kind of job with banks and insurance. And it sounds like it's a pretty wide a variety of employers.
Yes. Yes. And that's part of the North Carolina Tech Association. We have about 600 members across the state. A little over half are true what you would think as technology companies, software development, specific IT, maybe a security company. But then we also have tech enabled. So think about Krispy Kreme that has their headquarters. They have a lot of people in IT. Everyone wants to make sure they can get their hot donut now. And all of the tech that goes behind that. Hanes Brands, LabCorp. So there are a lot of companies in North Carolina that have their headquarters here or have significant IT operations. MetLife is a great example too. They have all of their IT focused in Cary. So people don't typically think of some of these companies as tech, but they have massive IT departments.
Yeah, that's definitely don't think of a donut company as a tech company. that's pretty interesting. I wanted to touch on what you were just speaking about there too. What is the North Carolina Tech Association? When was it founded? Why was it founded? And sort of what you guys do?
So next year, we will be celebrating our 30th anniversary.
Oh, wow.
Serve as the voice of the tech industry across the state. And we have kind of four different pillars. So professional networks, we put on different events and programs during the year with different tech focus, but that gives the opportunity for our members to network with each other, but also learn about what's going on in the industry. We also have some specific networks, like for CIOs and CISOs, the Chief Information Security Officers. We also have a government affairs pillar, so work on advocacy, you know, things like broadband expansion, vendor relations. So government, they need a lot of different tech and tech type support. So try to connect our members with the appropriate ways to go about those government vendor networks. Talent development, so that's my area, working on attraction, things like diversity and inclusion. And then also talent resources. There are a lot of training opportunities, government programs, connections to education partners. There's a lot going on in K through 12 and the community college system to get people more trained for the type of jobs that are available in North Carolina. Tech is obviously one of those. So those are, and then sector promotion is our last one. So I'm also over this area doing a lot of industry and market research. I mentioned our IT job trends report that comes out quarterly. I'm sorry, that's monthly, the monthly IT job trends report. We also do an annual state of the technology industry report and then a tech innovation index. So that's more comparing different regions about how innovative different regions are.
Okay. Wow. So it sounds like that's a lot that you guys do there.
It is a lot.
Wow. Now, how important is it to have something like the NC Tech Association? I mean, it seems like obviously you're hitting so many different sectors and helping so many different groups and organizations. It seems like this is a pretty crucial organization to have right now, especially with the way these tech jobs are just keep on growing.
I think you might have answered your own question. It is just such a growing industry. Tech is not going anywhere, and we really have some great resources within the state that are training the people that these companies need, which is, my background is in economic development, and that's what companies look for. They have to have the people. So NC State, their engineering and computer science programs, they're cranking out some really high quality graduates that then go to work for these tech companies. UNC Charlotte also has a big up and coming, growing computer science program as well. Wake Tech, so the community colleges, they cannot be left out of this conversation. They're really reaching out and meeting the need of the tech companies by doing some 2-year programs and certificates at the community college level.
Wow. We're speaking with Andrea Fleming. She is the Director of Talent and Workforce Development for the North Carolina Technology Association. So, Andrea, you were saying earlier that at the job fair that's coming up this next week, there are about 1,400 jobs these employers are looking to fill. And just in the month of April, there were 53,000 just in North Carolina. How many candidates do you expect to attend this expo? And do you expect a lot of them to land jobs next week?
So we have ranged from about 500 to about 1,500 job seekers at the different expos. And this is the time we do our heavy recruitment. So, you know, we focus first on making sure the companies are there. And then in about the 2 weeks prior to the event, we really switch and pivot to targeting the job seekers. So that is a really, steep chart of people registering each day. So we do expect between 500 and 1,000 probably job seekers. And we don't have a great way to actually track the number of people that are hired. Like some of the job seekers might have been in contact with the companies previously.
Okay.
And then come to the job expo as a follow-up. So I actually don't have that information about how many do land jobs. But again, the employers definitely see the value and keep coming back to this event time after time. About 80% are repeats.
Wow. I would assume with that many job openings that hopefully some people are definitely going to be landing some jobs. How do you target your candidates? Where do you find them? Do you advertise at the colleges and at the community colleges and stuff like that?
All of the above. So we have connections with a lot of the career centers at the universities, at the community colleges. There are some of the K-12 programs that have students in their career and technology education areas that will target them. We also rely on the media to help spread the word as well. We appreciate being on your program this morning. There are some specific tech media, GrepBeat and WRAL TechWire. Both are kind of media partners of NC Tech and help to spread the word. So really, and then we use our networks like LinkedIn, and Facebook and Twitter, and encourage the companies. They already have audiences that are interested in working for them. So we provide all of our companies with graphics and language and the links to make sure that they're able to get the word out, you know, come visit us at our booth at the NC Tech Job Expo. So we provide that information to them so they can help market their participation as well.
Okay. Excellent. Now, so if somebody's listening to this and says, oh, I'd like to attend this event as a potential candidate, how do they go about registering and getting more information?
So very, very easy. They go to nctech.org, and the banner at the very top is about the Job Expo. Click there. All of the information is there. It's very easy to register. It is free to register for a job seeker. Maybe takes about 10 minutes to create a profile, upload a resume, and upload and select what skills or what positions you're looking for, and you're good to go.
All right. Well, I would think that now is a great time to target these recent college grads and people
absolutely
coming out with their degrees. So if you are an interested candidate looking for a job in the tech industry, this is the event for you. It is the Virtual Tech Job Expo presented by the North Carolina Technology Association, happening on June 8th. And you can also attend these Meet the Employer webinars with a couple of the companies that are happening the day before on June 7th. So you can go to the website, as Andrea just told us, at nctech.org to get all the information you need if you would like to attend this. And Andrea, for a potential, if there's anybody left out there that might be interested in trying to join in as an employer or to be involved in a future tech expo event, how would they do the same thing? Go to the nctech.org?
Yes, same thing. The information for the employers is there as well, and we would be happy to host a few more employers, or they can email me at andrea@nctech.org. And one other thing to note, when you were talking about people looking for a job, the companies are looking for all skill levels. Last time I looked at the jobs and the registrations, they're all very evenly dispersed between entry level all the way up to some that required a PhD. And the job seekers ranged from entry level, you know, 1 to 3 years experience, you know, 3 to 5, all the way up, very evenly dispersed between experience levels. So it's not just an entry level, and it's not just a high experience job expo.
Okay, perfect. So it sounds like there may be something for everybody then, in terms of candidates and employers. All right. Well, I certainly wish everybody luck who is going to be attending this. And thank you so much, Andrea, for meeting with us this morning and telling us all about the NC Tech Association as well as this Job Expo. I appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
We've been speaking with Andrea Fleming. She is the Director of Talent and Workforce Development with the North Carolina Technology Association, telling us about their Virtual Tech Job Expo happening next week. And if you would like more information, again, go to nctech.org. In the meantime, everybody stay with us. We've got a lot more coming up here on Carolina Focus.
And we sure do. Thank you, Sharon. And breaking news this week, our own Brett Jensen will have his own show starting tomorrow, June 6th at 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. And let's have Brett tell us all about it. right here on Carolina Focus.
But we have a big announcement here, and this is significant. I'm very happy. I'm proud of you. I'm proud for you. I'm excited for you. Because obviously I've seen you sort of rise, make your rise here and build your career over, you know, well before WBT. But when you got here, you really taken it to another level. And excited this morning to give you the platform right here on WBT on the mothership to make a big announcement about future plans for Brett Jensen at WBT.
So when I came here in September of 2018, having never done anything about news, knew nothing about news. People think I joke when I say this, but I'm being dead sincere when I say this. I knew who the governor of North Carolina was. I knew our president. I knew our vice president, and I knew the mayor. I didn't know a single senator from North Carolina, not a single congressman from North Carolina, because my world had always been sports, and I had complete focus and tunnel vision on sports. So people go, oh, you know, the school board member. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, why would I need to know a school board member? Are you serious? Or city council, county commissioners? And so none of that. I knew none of that stuff. And so here we are 3.5 years later. Things have gone fairly well.
I would say.
And so, a week ago, just over a week ago, about 10 days ago, WBT, Marsha Landis, the general manager here, Mike Schaefer, the program director here for WBT, and Radio One wanted to make sure that I was here going forward. So when I came to WBT, I was just hired, just like anybody else. There were no contracts. There were no non-competes. It was just, here you are. Let's try out and see what you can do because, again, I'd never done news before.
You were unproven at that point.
Well, yeah, I mean, you leave out one important detail. All of that is true, but they said, here are the keys to the car. You're going to cover a hurricane.
Yeah, my very first day. Brett, how fast can you get to Wilmington to cover Hurricane Florence? Yep. The biggest hurricane ever is supposed to be hitting Wilmington. Mm. And it was truly my first day. As I always say, September 10th, that Monday, was signing all the paperwork. September 11th was learning how not to sexually harass someone. And with all the videos that you have to watch,
I'm
HR.
Glad they taught you that.
Yeah, and then Wednesday, September 12th, I showed up. Mike Schaefer walks to me and says, how quickly can you get to Wilmington? That was my very first assignment. And for whatever reason, wound up getting a one-on-one interview with the police chief of Wilmington.
Well,
of all people.
Is that breaking Brett Jensen?
So it worked well. But so all that
would be
said,
foreshadowing for what the next several years would be like.
Exactly.
And I'm serious. I mean, if not in Wilmington and in areas of Charlotte, whatever the story would be. And so you've earned that title, Breaking Brett Jensen, so much so that not only is it the title of your name, mm-hmm. But it's going to be the title of something else.
Yeah. So I am here. I've signed a new contract because they wanted to make sure that I'm here for a while. And that's great. And I appreciated that. And also, in part of this contract that they signed me to is that I will now be having a daily show.
Yay!
From 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., immediately following Mark Garrison's Charlotte at 6, to go over the day's events, probably 75% of which are going to be local events, you know, with my interviews and people that I'd talk to and going in depth, like, you know, say the story we had last week about Turning Point Academy. And that we spent 30 minutes on your show, which we would still do. That's not changing. I'm still coming on your show once a week. And then at night, go in even more in-depth into something and take you a little bit behind the scenes of what's going on, how something came about. How was I able to get this story? What did some of these politicians or people that I'm interviewing say once the microphones got turned off? Like, things are going on. And so that's what we're going to be talking about. And so it's going to be called Breaking with Brett Jensen. And Monday through Friday from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. And I am locked in. And so for better or for worse for the politicians, I'm not going anywhere.
Are you excited? Yay!
Congratulations.
Yes, well, congratulations.
Now, we should stipulate that starting next Monday.
Yes.
June 6th.
And it'll be a very heavy caller-driven show. Callers are going to be encouraged to call the entire hour to ask questions on whatever it is that I'm dealing with that particular day.
The news heard round the world of One Julian Price Place, Breaking Brett Jensen, starting Monday. He's going to host a brand new nightly show, weeknights, 7 o'clock, 7 till 8, following Charlotte at 6, called Breaking with Brett Jensen. So Brett Jensen going to be around here for a while to come, and one of his new, yeah, he's still going to be the Breaking Brett Jensen reporter that you know and love, but he's also going to have his own platform every night of the week, 7 o'clock, following Garrison. It's a nice 1-2 punch there. Garrison at 6 and then Jensen at 7, and the stories that you're working on all day and around the clock, more in-depth calls to react to those stories. And Breaking with Brett Jensen starts this coming Monday, Monday, June 6th at 7 p.m. So congratulations again.
With Bo Thompson and Beth Troutman.
We have the watermelon, we have the salt.
Do you want to try this, Hancock?
Oh, I'll try it.
Bo looks scared.
Yeah! All right. Wait, that was Hancock.
It's okay.
It's right. Delicious, isn't it?
Somebody get Bo an airline bag.
Oh, there he goes. Bo is ill.
Coming up next week, scotch.
Yes. Now with scotch, you had me at hello.
Stay connected. Bo and Beth, tomorrow morning, 6 to 10. WBT.
Your emergency situation station.
Well, welcome back to Carolina Focus. You're listening to Carolina Focus on News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT, Mix 107.9, and 92.7 610 Sports Radio WFNC. Also available as a podcast at WBT.com. Carolina Focus is your public affairs show. It's a combination of original interviews and choice encore segments from the past week. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Sharon Thorsland.
Welcome back, everybody, to Carolina Focus.
Yay, Sharon Thorsland!
Some of you probably recognize that voice over here sitting next to me, Ramona Holloway from 107.9 over here down the hallway from us here at WBT Radio. Ramona, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for letting me be here, especially off the air where I talk you to death. You're like...
We love it. We love it. We love it. Well, we got a pretty interesting month here. It's Alzheimer's Awareness Month, Dementia Awareness Month. And
yes.
I know that you've got a really fun event coming up to try to raise funds for this and get the word out about dementia and Alzheimer's, which, as we will get into, you've had a very personal connection with. So first
yes.
of all, tell us a little bit about this event coming up. What's going on?
It is the most fun that you can have as a family. Family Dance Party CLT, Jamison Realty, and Ally Financial have come together to help us throw this big party to raise money for the Alzheimer's Association. And the thing about this thing is, it's family from beginning to end. We even have kids and grandparents involved on our marketing team. And if you go to my Facebook page, Ramona Holloway, or Twitter or Instagram, anywhere you find me, you'll see some of the videos that the kids have made, not just to promote the family dance party, which is June 11th at Symphony Park, but they're also trying to teach their peers about dementia awareness. They're trying to, you know, tell their peers, like, when our grandparents get diagnosed, it doesn't mean we have to disconnect.
Okay.
We can still do some things to engage with them. And they're making these awesome videos, and I am just so proud of how this community, from the kids to the grandparents, are helping to put this on.
That's such a great idea. I remember my I've had several people in my family, but most notably my grandmother and my great aunt, who we're very close to. Both of them got Alzheimer's and mm-hmm. passed away from Alzheimer's. And I was a little bit older and in probably late middle school and into high school. And it was so weird because you're like, wait a minute, they're not normal anymore. And so this is such a great idea to expose kids to what Alzheimer's and dementia is and how to react to it and how
right.
to still interact with their loved ones that are suffering from this. I mean, it seems like this is just such a crucial thing to be doing at a young age.
I have heard from two different kids. One on our family dance party marketing team and another through his mom on Facebook, that when the diagnosis became clear, they were scared.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Some grandparents have hallucinations. Mm-hmm. And some say things that aren't nice. And some ask you the same question over and over again. And some forget how to do the things that you like to do with them. And some forget your name. Mm-hmm. We don't talk about what that does to a 10-year-old or a 15-year-old. Mm-hmm. But we do on the Family Dance Party marketing team, and we give these kids motivation not just to engage with senior citizens, but we give them motivation to be change makers. You know what I mean? To help to erase some stigmas, to help become a more cohesive community. So it's not, I'm Gen X, boomer, you know? Oh, you're just one of those Gen Zs. We're people helping people, and these kids are learning how to give back. And wouldn't it be a much better place if we all learned how to give back?
Absolutely, absolutely. So you're doing this marketing campaign with them, and how did this dance party come about? Where'd you come up with the idea? How long has it been going on?
Well, it's been going on since 2019. That was our very first one. Jameson Realty, Paul Jameson, he's the head of that company. He and I got together about doing an event around families. And I said, when, you know, there aren't any really, some walks you bring your kids, but most of the galas aren't kid-friendly, mm-hmm. and the festivals don't really allow the family to engage with other families. And the only time we really see that is at like a wedding reception, mm-hmm. where there's music and dancing, and dancing always brings everybody together.
Well, there's the idea then, and, huh?
So we decided we would have it a day party because day parties were getting more popular. They were the hip, trendy thing. Well, what about a day party for families? So the Roxbury nightclub opened their doors to us from 1 to 5 for a family dance party. The first one was a benefit for a child's place to help homeless children in Charlotte Public Schools. Okay. And the second one was for beds for kids. Mm-hmm. And then this third one, because of my journey with mom, and then because of Paul's journey with his father, it was a no-brainer for us to want to do something for families affected by dementia. Okay. And that's one of the things that the Alzheimer's Association does. Yes, thank God they're supporting the type of research that could lead to a cure, but they're also supporting families who are dealing with loved ones who have dementia.
Well, and no doubt you know this better than anybody. Obviously, Alzheimer's and dementia affects the patient themselves and the person who's suffering from the disease. But I think almost more it's the family members and the caretakers that almost suffer even more because you're so aware of what's going on while
right.
the patient, and you know, in this case, your mother, Wheezy, maybe didn't know what was going on probably mm-hmm. a good portion mm-hmm. of the time, especially towards the end. I mean, to have that kind of support, how crucial is that?
It's everything. I mean, I'm going to sound dramatic when I say that kind of support is life-saving. Mm-hmm. For example, my friend's mom might not know why she's crying. She's nonverbal, but she's weeping mm-hmm. when my friend's at her bedside. And then the next minute, she could be laughing mm-hmm. or just calm. But you know who's going to carry those tears? All day into the night and into the next visit when she shows up again and her mother's weeping, the caregiver. Mm-hmm. And I'm not just talking about caregivers who have loved ones in their homes, because that's a really special type of isolation mm-hmm. oftentimes. But I'm also talking about the caregivers who, in most cases, in 99% of the cases I personally know, and I know a lot of cases, in 99% of those cases, those loved ones were placed in facilities because their loved ones at home couldn't do it anymore. It's not because
yeah.
they wouldn't.
Yeah.
Either it wasn't safe for their loved one, or it had gotten to the point where it wasn't safe for them.
Yeah.
You know, my uncle, who died in February of last year, was a U.S. Navy veteran.
Tough guy.
He served on a U.S. submarine for 20 years,
wow.
6 months at sea at a time. No sunshine, no family. I mean, this guy was a survivor, strong guy. And in his dementia, he became violent. That was not anything that his daughter, my cousin, could handle at home.
Yeah.
A man who's strong enough to throw a chair across the room because he doesn't recognize you and thinks you're a predator of some type.
Mm-hmm.
So she needs support, too, because she didn't want to put her father in a facility. She had to. Do those people need help? Absolutely. Do they need support, too? Yes. Yes.
What kinds of programs does, I know we have the wonderful, wonderful groups here in North Carolina, Alzheimer's support groups, and what kinds of things do they do specifically to support caretakers and family members and people like yourself?
First of all, and I'm so mad at myself because I don't have the number in front of me, there is a hotline. A hotline.
Okay.
When you are at your wit's end, when you have a question, and there can be a million questions, because when a brain goes haywire, you don't even know what's coming next. But there are some professionals who can guide you through the chaos.
Okay.
There's a hotline. There are also support groups and informational groups, because it just knowing something as simple as don't disagree with them, redirect them,
okay,
is crucial. My mom says that, you know, the trash man is out to get us. Okay, I'm going to call the city. Let me, you know,
yeah.
I'm going to call Mayor Charlie. We're going to get to the bottom of this. You know,
she shakes her head. Good.
Yeah, like, yeah, get him. Because the next week, the trash guy is her best friend. And she's standing out on the porch waving at him, saying, I love you. And then the next minute, she's literally in the window, thank God it was daytime, and she is sexy dancing for Frank across the street. You know, it...
Where does that come and go? I mean, it's amazing how the brain works.
The brain goes rogue. It goes rogue. One of my friends, her mom was a school counselor and administrator, and she would go in to see her mom, and her mom would call the meeting to order and would go ahead and like conduct a whole meeting about what's going on at the school. Like, I think these other people are late because they think that this meeting's only going to be blah, 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 but this meeting's going to be an hour no matter what. You know, okay, we're having a school meeting, you know.
Wow. And I always love to hear you talk about this because you put such humor into it. And obviously it can be an exceptionally sad subject, but you make it real and
Here's the thing about the humor part. The first time you go through that, it ain't funny.
Yeah.
It ain't funny. And if you don't know how to handle it, it goes beyond not funny to frustrating and heartbreaking. And the first time it happens, it gets you all up in your feelings. You've completely lost touch with reality. After a while, when the neighbors knew that mom believed that every single man on our little street was after her, it was a nice little joke.
Yeah, yeah.
Barry says hello. I walked outside and there he is. Hi, Wheezy. Hi, Henri. Because he's our neighbor, Barry. He lives across the street with his wife, Janice. You know, we could laugh about it after a while. And that's another part of the support that I'm thankful I had. I had really supportive neighbors. And neighbors can play such a huge role in this if we talk about it, if we're vulnerable with people. If we sweep it under the rug, how do our neighbors know that they should be looking out for mom when she takes a left on Mellon Drive? You know, if she's out walking the dog and she just doesn't do the loop, you know?
Yeah.
You see your light come on, your security light come on, and you look out and it's Wheezy. She's not just going for a midnight stroll. She's gone loose. Call Ramona, you know?
But
your neighbors have to know. So if you're trying to like, we're just keeping it a secret. Dad's getting a little weird. No. Neighbors can be so incredibly helpful.
How long does someone like this suffer? I mean, how long was it for your mom? It various degrees until it got worse. You're talking months, years?
For me, it was years. But the hard part is it was years from the diagnosis. But if I look objectively at a lot of things that started happening years before that, there were some signs. At first, the signs were like, whatever. My mom's stubborn. She's weird. You know, she's getting older. She just forgot that one thing. And then the mental omissions started getting more alarming. And, you know, I was kind of in denial, like, this, that can't be what it is, because she is stubborn, you know. And, you know, I go upstairs. What did I go upstairs for? I mean, it happens to the best of us, right? So I was in denial for a while, but my mom was officially diagnosed in 2015, and she passed away in 2021. One of my friends, her mom has been officially in the struggle for 12 years.
Wow.
And then other people, from the time of diagnosis, it goes downhill very quickly. I mean, just there's just no pinpointing it. I will say that for my mom, and I've been told that the medications supported by the research done by the Alzheimer's Association, not by the research they've done, but the research they've been funding, mm-hmm. that the medications that my mom took slowed it down. So we had more good time.
Okay.
So the onslaught was gradual. But I would say the last 6 months, we were sliding downhill very quickly.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it was, you know, every 3 months or so I'd see a notable decline. And it was every month I'd see a notable decline. And then it was every week and then every day.
Folks, yeah. You're listening to Carolina Focus with Sharon and myself, Ramona Holloway, and we're talking about Alzheimer's. So here we are Sunday. This event is this coming Saturday?
Yes, yes. At
Tell
Symphony
us a little
Park,
bit more about it.
It's a family dance party for all generations. We have even a family dance contest with a prize of $500.
Nice.
Thank you, Jameson Realty. Thank you, Ally Financial. $500, and you just have to have at least two people and two generations represented.
Oh,
so it can
okay.
be a child and a parent, child and a grandparent, auntie, uncle and a kid, any combination.
Open to the public.
Open to the public. Open to the public. You might want to go to our website, mix1079.com/events, to get the information. If you buy tickets and you want to sign up for the dance party, I recommend that you do sign up for the dance contest ahead of time, because there might not be slots left on day of. So that's one important thing to know. If you want to a shot at the $500, and I think both of you and your families would have the moves.
You don't want to see me dance.
I believe.
It's all about you.
Make sure you sign up ahead of time so that you'll have a slot. I wouldn't want you to say, hey, we're going to dance. We practiced and we got this going, and get there and not be able to dance.
Now, are you one of the judges? Who's judging the dance contest?
Fred Shropshire from okay. WCNC, Brigida yeah. Mack, who's probably yeah. been at every TV station in town. and I love her dearly. Kyle Bailey
oh, okay.
from yeah. our sister station yeah. WFNZ. Pete Kalliner,
okay.
your co-worker yeah. at WBT. And one mystery judge.
Ooh. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Give
mm-hmm.
us a hint.
Mm-hmm. I can't tell you.
No. Oh, boy.
I can't tell you about the mystery judge.
Find out for yourself. So this event starts at 1 o'clock on mm-hmm. Saturday,
yep.
lasts until 5. So obviously the dance contest, I'm sure, is one of the big elements
it's
of it.
It's a big highlight, but there will also be games. Okay. We do games, and they're multi-generational games. We're going to have some activities to do. Ooey Barbecue is going to be out there. Cakeable is out there with treats. But here's one of the best things about having a party like this at Symphony Park, and I would be so remiss if I didn't tell you that South Park Mall, when I called them about doing this, they said that we could have Symphony Park for just the cost of the insurance policy for the park.
Wow.
Which is $200.
Wow.
Nothing. Yeah, beautiful.
Do you know there were places like, yeah, sure, $6,000. We're trying to raise money for the Alzheimer's Association. Yeah. And I know these venues have to make their money too. But I just thought that that was a wonderful thing.
Beautiful. Shout out to those folks.
And it's a beautiful park. And because we're in a park, yeah, Ooey Barbecue will be there. Yes, Cake will be there. But you can also bring your own food and your own water so it's less expensive for a family. You can bring your own lawn chair so you don't have to stand around or dance the whole time. You can sit and enjoy the kids dancing and enjoy the adults dancing and playing games. Just enjoy the music and the sunshine. BYO umbrella, BYO chair, BYO food, and we'll bring the fun.
Wow. Now, is this obviously open to families of all ages? Do you encourage people to bring their relative who has dementia or Alzheimer's out there?
Yes, absolutely. When you said that you had relatives who had dementia and you remember being a kid, I really thought you were going to say that they remembered music.
Well, actually, I can dive into that. Yes, my grandmother in particular, that's all, and they were Norwegian, and all they would do towards the end would sing hymns in Norwegian, and they would just sing their favorite hymns over and over and over again. And,
my mom
that's what they remembered.
Never forgot church hymns.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or the Lord's Prayer. And she never forgot the Motown catalog. You hear me? She could all the Aretha, all the Temptations. Music is such a strong connector. It's so powerful. And when she would hear Bruno Mars, she would just be, she loved Bruno Mars. She would just dance. She loved Megan Thee Stallion. She would dance. Because I would play TikTok videos for her. So she would dance around to the different TikTok songs and watch the TikTok dance challenges that the kids were doing. And she'd be highly entertained. The screen was one of my best wheezy sitters. Yeah. I'm just like some parents. Just like some parents. As long as she would watch that screen.
Mickey Mouse or Coco Melon or anything
that. So music made such good sense for us family dance parties. So we're going to have generations of music, and we're going to different generations are going to try different dances from the generations. So, you know, you'll try to teach me that that cute little dance that you guys used to do, the Carlton, back in your day, and your kid will try to teach you the Dougie.
Wow. It sounds like it's going to be just an absolute great time. What kind of a response have you gotten from families? And you were mentioning off the air that you're, you know, getting senior centers involved and things like that. For the people like that, to know that this is out there for them, and are they excited to be able to come and participate in something like this?
All About Seniors is one of our media sponsors. And Charlotte Parent is one of our media sponsors. So, I mean, just...
Yeah,
because it's a whole family. Yeah. And All About Seniors, they've been so excited because when was the last time that people from assisted living got invited to a party?
Yeah.
When was the last time? Someone said, hey, we want to come and we want to party with you. We think you'll be fun.
Yeah.
We think you've got something to offer.
Wow.
When was the last time we did that for our seniors?
Very rarely, I'm sure. That's awesome. I'm sure they're excited.
I cannot wait for this. I am so incredibly excited. Just another quick shout out, because we are doing all kinds of activities. Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, they're doing a coloring table, because coloring is one of the activities that a lot of seniors with dementia do, and it's something that kids do as well. So they're going to have a table out there. So many people in the community, practically every business you see there at the family dance party, has come through for us so generously. Every single person we've asked has said, yes, how can we? I have a connection to. So please be so proud of us. Be so proud of us, because this is a really good thing that some good people like Gastonia Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, they came on board to support it. Why? Because they could.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Wow. It's going to be, I'm sure, just a great ton of fun out there this Saturday, 1 o'clock, Symphony Park. If people would like to purchase tickets or donate tickets, how can they do that?
Mix1079.com/events.
All right. Everybody, get some tickets. Donate some tickets. We've been speaking with Ramona Holloway of Mix 107.9 The Link, also very, very familiar with Alzheimer's and dementia. Ramona, thanks for joining us today. And
thanks for the dance moves that I'm claiming right now. And I'm telling you, if I can get these people, these two, if I can get them out to the dance party, I promise you video.
Oh, wow. All right. I don't know. I might have to go incognito for that one. We're going to have a lot more coming up with Ramona next week because we're going to talk some more about what is going on this month with Alzheimer's Awareness and another big event here coming up later this month. So everybody stick around for next week's show. I'm going to hear a lot more from Ramona.
Thanks for having me back.
News Talk 1110 99.3 WPT.